You thought inflation was hot for consumers? It's worse for producers. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Today, we got another piece of inflation-related data, the Producer Price Index. That's what producers are paying for all kinds of stuff at the wholesale level. And just like for consumers, their prices are going up. Prices at the wholesale level jumped 1% in June. Year over year, that is a record price increase of 7.3%. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the Producer Price Index, what producers are paying for stuff, that in June was up 7.3% from a year earlier. That's even more than consumer prices were up. How serious is that?
What's important is that that price index has increased, which means producers are paying more for their goods, which then go on to the consumer. It's echoing investors' fears that inflation is here to stay. And that's a concern for the market overall. Is inflation here temporarily or permanently?
Chairman Powell is testifying before Congress today, and he will, in his prepared remarks, say that inflation is being temporarily boosted by base effects, comparison with a bad year last year. Is that going to be convincing?
In the comments released this morning, the Fed is very clear that they don't think the economic recovery has progressed enough to do anything. They're not going to raise interest rates. They're not going to pull support. And while Chairman Powell again reiterated that his view is that inflation is merely transitory, the market will look at that and question it, but that continued support overall is a positive.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Democrats on the Senate Budget Committee are proposing a $3.5 trillion spending package that includes a lot of the items on President Biden's economic agenda. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has been following this. Hi, Mariel.
Hey, Sabri.
So there's no actual bill yet, but what do we know about this plan and what's in it?
Yeah, based on what's been said so far, it's expected to put money toward things like universal pre-K, free community college, climate change efforts, also an expansion of Medicare.
Now, wasn't a lot of this supposed to be part of the Biden administration's big infrastructure package?
It was, but Democrats couldn't get Republican support. So they're hoping to pass this through the budget reconciliation process, which is only allowed for certain kinds of bills. And then separately, they're working on a bipartisan infrastructure bill with Republicans, and that will put money toward roads, bridges, railroads, pipes, electric vehicle chargers, stuff like that.
So how do the two bills compare, the sort of traditional infrastructure and what the president's called human infrastructure? How do they compare in size?
Yeah, that bipartisan infrastructure bill is $1.2 trillion. Much of that is actually a continuation of current funding. And then this new package would spend almost three times more. Democrats do say the bill will be fully paid for, but we don't know yet what that'll entail.
All right. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you so much.
Thank you.
President Biden has been trying to rebuild international alliances that had deteriorated under Trump's America First foreign policy, not least of which in Europe, where Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen recently called for a united front with Europe to counter China, specifically what Yellen called China's unfair economic practices and threats to the principles of openness, fair competition, transparency, and accountability. China's foreign ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian said China deplored and rejected the remarks. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack has more from Shanghai on the economic points of contention between the world's two largest economies.
U.S. companies operating in China still face a lot more restrictions compared with their Chinese counterparts in the U.S. Now, China's government has improved intellectual property, opened up the financial services and auto industries, but many other barriers remain. China still restricts foreign investment in hospitals, law firms, and cloud computing. U.S. tech giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter are basically blocked here. In some cases, American firms say they are forced to transfer technology. Then there's the Made in China 2025 policy. It aims to upgrade the country in sectors including robotics, artificial intelligence, and biomedicine. European business groups say this plan is meant to cut out a lot of foreign suppliers. And that's why Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the European Union and the U.S. should work together to counter what she calls unfair economic practices. Though what is truly unfair, says Zhao Lijian with the Chinese Foreign Ministry, is how people, quote, cherry-pick mechanisms and rules in order to smear China. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Starting tomorrow, families with children will receive monthly tax credit payments as part of the pandemic relief bill. Some will receive the money as a direct deposit, others in the form of a check. But for many who need it the most, cashing that check may be difficult. That's because they don't have bank accounts, and they may be charged fees by third parties to cash them. Florian Martin of Houston Public Media reports on efforts to get more people banked.
Angelina Cortez has lived in Houston for the past 7 years. She's been cleaning houses for a living. But it was only last year that she finally got a bank account. Cortez says banks required her to have a minimum balance, and she didn't make enough money to meet that. Then she took a course with a nonprofit that helped her find a manageable checking account. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has been running a pilot campaign in Atlanta and Houston called Get Banked. It directs people to accounts that meet certain affordability standards. Leonard Chainin with the FDIC says there are several reasons people don't use banks, but one of the main ones?
Many consumers just don't trust banks.
The FDIC found that more than 5% of American households don't have bank accounts, and the numbers are even higher among communities of color. More than 12% of Latinx and nearly 14% of Black Americans are unbanked, according to the latest FDIC survey. Like Angelina Cortez, many people find that the minimum balance they need to have a bank account is too high for them to afford.
And then one of the other reasons is what people characterize as unexpected fees. And we think what they mean by that is overdrafts.
Many banks allow customers to overdraw. Bankrate.com found the average fee is more than $30 for each overdraft. But not having a bank account can actually cost more. That's because payday lenders and check cashing businesses can charge substantial fees for each transaction. A study by the Financial Health Network found Americans paid $66 million in check cashing fees during the first round of pandemic stimulus payments. Angelina Cortez says life has been easier since she got a bank account. She says she pays her bills online now, so doesn't have to worry about missing payments. And she doesn't have to deal with check cashing fees. In Houston, I'm Florian Martin for Marketplace.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.